You know, I allow myself sometimes to get my hopes up. I can be my own worst enemy when it comes to these things. I was looking forward to the King of the Ring quarterfinal matches tonight. We had two of them on this show and two quarterfinal matches for the Queen of the Ring as well. And we had Io Sky and Shayna Baszler. I thought they had a good match. We had Lyra Valkyria and Zoe Stark. We had Gunther and Kofi Kingston after Kofi beat Rey Mysterio this weekend at the live event. And then they teased us. And I should have known better than to fall for it because, of course, they wanted you to believe that next week we were actually going to get, for the first time on the main roster, we were going to see these two men right here. We were going to see Gunther and Ilya Dragunov. This was their first confrontation in the back, face-to-face, just teasing the possibility that next week on TV, we were in for a banger of a match here between these two. What did Triple H do? He blue-balled us. That's what he did. Unfortunately, this is not the match that we are going to be getting on TV next week. Ilya Dragunov went in there with Jey Uso, and he lost. Jey Uso will now move on to the semifinals next week against Gunther. Ilya Dragunov will have to wait to fight another day. This is a very, very sad panda here. But all that really means is that we're going to have to wait probably until Berlin at the end of August, because we are going to get that match. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We're just going to have to wait a little bit longer for it. And I'm pissed off, but that's just because I want to see that match. So they have a match now that I very much want to see. And the idea of doing it overseas on one of those shows in front of those crowds, you know, doing it on a show where there's no commercials is very appealing. But fuck, man, I don't want to wait. I want to see that match right now. So I was bummed out by the finish of that main event, I'm not going to lie. Especially because we already had Gunther against Jey Uso on TV not that long ago for the Intercontinental title. And so now we get to see it again next week. There hasn't been enough time that's gone by to where I'm interested in seeing that. I actually have no interest in seeing that match at all. But it really shouldn't be a surprise that Jey Uso is moving on, because Jey Uso is one of the biggest baby faces in the entire company. I can't sit here and argue the fact that Jey Uso isn't a bigger babyface than Ilya Dragunov. Of course he is. He's a bigger name, he's a bigger babyface, he's a bigger star. All of that is true, so I understand why. I know why they did it. That doesn't mean I have to be happy with it. So we had a lot of action tonight in the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments. See, at least I'm not alone. I see a lot of people who feel the same way have sympathy for me. It's all right, though. We're going to get that match in due time. And when we do, I guarantee you that match will get over every bit as much on the main roster in front of that audience as it did in NXT. NXT, NXT UK. You can put these guys in any territory, any era, any promotion, any kind of crowd. It doesn't matter. Some guys, when you put them together in the ring, they just know how to work a crowd. They just work a certain style. There's just something about them. There's not a doubt in my mind that if you take these two guys and put them in the ring anywhere, any era, they would get over. The match would get over. It would be well received. Drew McIntyre is getting a title shot. We'll talk about why and when, even though we really don't know when, but I have a feeling I know when. And the Judgment Day, they had a story arc throughout the entire show involving Carlito. There were a lot of stories and little stories that were progressed throughout the entirety of tonight's three-hour show, which I thought on the whole was a very solid show overall. It was a good Raw. It was a good Raw. We had some good in-ring action, a lot of shorter matches as well, kind of blended in with them. The show, kind of that second hour, it was one of those deals where there was nothing bad, but it was just one of those weeks where there wasn't anything overly exciting, and so I was kind of like, oh, all right, we have another hour here. Yeah, there have been a few Raws recently where I wasn't really looking at the clock. I can't say that about this show, but I did think overall, though, top to bottom, it was a good episode of Raw. So we are going to get into the entire thing here, although I always strive to have a better stream then a better Raw. Better stream than Raw? I don't know. We'll see. This is your Monday Night Raw post-show review for Monday, May 13th, 2024. I am the Sala Monster. We did it. We did it. Earlier this morning, we officially broke 80,000 subscribers here on YouTube. So I have all of you to thank for that. I knew we would get there sometime in these few days, but we did it not long after midnight. This morning. So my thanks to all of you who helped get me to 80K. It is a very cool thing. And now, of course, we move on up and we go to 85 and then 90. And then who knows? Who knows where we may end up and when? I'm a very impatient person, so I want to get there as soon as possible. So if you are not subscribed, I humbly ask you to go ahead and subscribe. So that way we can get to the next goal that much quicker. Also, the podcast cracked the top 10 all wrestling podcasts on all of Apple Podcasts, which is the biggest platform. We clocked in the top 10 yet again this week. I want to thank you for that as well. A lot of good feedback to episode 861 this weekend, especially my Dark Side of the Ring review. Season finale. The season is all over. We are done with Dark Side for the time being. And again, a lot of great feedback to the episode. So if you missed it, episode 861. It is up right now. You can go see what all the fuss is about, but thank you for getting me into the top 10 again this week. Like, subscribe, super chat. 400 likes is the goal for Be the Booker tonight. All right, let's get into this Raw show here because we got a lot. There's a lot to unwrap about this show. It's a long show. 3 hour long show. Don't care how good Raw may be any given week. This does not need to be a 3 hour show. I will maintain that until the day that they put me in the fucking ground. This show does not need to be 3 hours. It would be infinitely better if it was less, but that's not going to happen. So Drew McIntyre was back. The same Drew McIntyre who left the building last week. And then when CM Punk showed up and asked him to come back and told people to tweet him to come back, he didn't come back, but he came back this week. And of course, there was no CM Punk this week. And the camera followed Drew at the beginning of the show from the back, through the gorilla position, all the way down to the ring. The fans were chanting for CM Punk. McIntyre told them, well, maybe if we were in Atlanta, maybe if we were in Charlotte. But Punk was not going to show up in Greenville. He says he only makes the big towns, brother. Because the greatest trick that CM Punk, you know, the expression, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. Usual Suspects, great movie. He says that the greatest trick CM Punk ever pulled was looking like a drug addict without ever taking any drugs. Not as good as his other burn, though. About, you know, for a guy who's straight edge and doesn't drink and doesn't do drugs, you spend an awful, awful amount of time in rehab. I don't think anything is going to top that line. He says also by convincing the fans to trust him over and over again, no matter how many times he betrays their trust, it's like an abusive relationship. He doesn't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to him. Last week, he was in the ring calling him a coward, challenging him to a fight. This was 1 minute after he left the building. Did CM Punk magically show up? It's like he's got a stooge on the inside, Adam Pearce. Said a week before that, he was in the ring. Punk was in the skybox. He went up to the skybox, and then Punk was in the ring. He said eventually he's going to get his hands on him, but right now he's not going to waste his time on a guy who may not be cleared for another 20 years. Then he turned his attention to Jey Uso, pointing out that he lost another title match, his title match. His reward, Drew's spot in the King of the Ring. He says it is complete BS. He'll deal with Jey later, which, you know, got my hopes up because I figured, okay, that means that McIntyre is going to come back out. He's threatening to come back out at the end of the show. He will factor into the finish. Jey Uso does not have to take a clean loss. Drew McIntyre can cost him the match, and then we can get our Ilya Dragunov-Gunther match next week. See? I was still holding out hope. So Drew lied here. I guess maybe he wasn't speaking literally that he would be back out here later. but I was kind of hoping he was. Says right now his number one priority is the World Heavyweight Championship and that paper champion Damian Priest. So that brought out Damian Priest. He said that Drew's got some serious issues. And since he can't shut that hole in his face, maybe say what you're going to say, but say it to somebody's face. And Drew said, I'd love to, but Punk keeps running away from me every week. But he's going to say something positive right now about Damian Priest. He said that he's got a very inspirational story. Says he's paid his dues. He deserves all of the success in the world. He just doesn't deserve to be the champion. He said his next door neighbor, Dave, has a very inspirational story. It doesn't mean that he deserves to be the World Heavyweight Champion. I say we should not count out Dave. I don't know what Dave's story is. Perhaps Dave does deserve to be the World Heavyweight Champion. Wouldn't it be funny if Meltzer is the one who lives next to Drew McIntyre? He was talking about what an inspirational story Mr. Meltzer has. Meltzer doesn't seem to have a lot of friends these days. Everybody's picking on this guy. Everyone's calling him out. Everybody's insulting him and attacking him. It'd be kind of funny if he and Drew were actual next-door neighbors. He says the title needs Drew McIntyre, and Damian knew that he couldn't beat him one-on-one, so he had to use the briefcase. So Priest cut him off and called him delusional, said he's out here blaming everybody else for his failures. He told him, find a mirror and then blame that asshole. And Priest said that he wanted to cash in on Seth Rollins. He really did. But Drew stopped him from cashing in multiple times, which is true. If you remember, at least twice that I can remember, this fucker tried to cash in that briefcase, and Drew McIntyre each time was there to stop him. Once, I remember he booted him in the face when he was on the outside about to cash in. He says, that's your fault. It's true. It is his fault. He's not wrong. Then he told Drew that if he was smart, he would wait. Drew once told him that if you were smart, you would wait until I beat Punk and then cash in. He goes, that's on you. He says, so what happened? He saw Punk. He made Punk more important than himself. He made Punk more important than the title. He made Punk more important than his own wife. And he proceeded to get his ass whooped by a one-armed man. So Drew's elbow is going to get better, and he's going to get cleared. You want a shot at the World Heavyweight title? Great. You got it. But check this out, Drew. You can call me a paper champion all you want, but when I'm done with you, you are going to eat those words. So just like that, Drew McIntyre gets himself a World Heavyweight Championship match. As it turned out, he didn't have to go through 15 men, 12 men, however many other men there are in the King of the Ring tournament. He doesn't have to go through the King of the Ring tournament. All he had to do was ask. And boom, just like that, he's got himself a World Heavyweight Championship match. Now, they did not announce a date. They did not tell us when it would be taking place, but that right there is your World Heavyweight title match at Clash at the Castle. Because Drew McIntyre should be in the main event challenging for the World Heavyweight Championship in Glasgow. It's the only thing that makes sense. So that is where that match should be taking place. Now, the only question is, does Drew McIntyre win the World Heavyweight Championship? Or do they send CM Punk out there to once again cost him? So the question now is, do they want CM Punk in basically what will be his first big match coming back? It's going to be against Drew McIntyre. Do they want CM Punk in his first big match back to be challenging for the World Heavyweight Championship? I don't know that they do. Especially not if he's not going to win it. I don't know that really makes a whole lot of sense if they're going to go right into a World Heavyweight Championship program with him. From their perspective, it may not make sense. Because if he's cleared in time for SummerSlam, then that's got to be the match. It's got to be McIntyre and Punk. If not earlier, it's got to be McIntyre and Punk at SummerSlam. And also, keep in mind that if Gunther were to win King of the Ring, we still don't know exactly what is on the line in this tournament. Outside of that first promo that Gunther cut when he declared himself, he was the first man to declare himself for King of the Ring. And he sort of alluded to the fact that he would go after this championship or that championship. It's kind of ridiculous that we are how many weeks in now? At least, what, 3 weeks in or two, 3 weeks in? And we still have absolutely no idea what is at stake if anything, other than the crown, in either of these tournaments. We're kind of left to figure it out on our own. We're heading into the semifinals next week. You would think WWE would give some clarity on exactly what's on the line here, unless they themselves have not finalized exactly what is going to be on the line. I think that's fucking ridiculous. But if Gunther is going to win King of the Ring, and let's say the winner of the King of the Ring is going to be able to challenge for the World Championship, it doesn't matter if it's Clash at the Castle, it doesn't matter if it's SummerSlam, it doesn't matter if it's the Bash in Berlin. If Gunther is going to get that title, then again, let's say Drew wins it, he feuds with Punk. If Gunther is going to get it, it almost doesn't make any sense to put the world title up for grabs in that feud. So that's really the only unanswered question here. I don't know. I mean, you would think if they're going to put McIntyre, let's say, in the main event for a title in Scotland, that he would walk out as the champion. But there's no guarantee of that because CM Punk has said he's going to make his life hell. He's going to fuck him over somehow. He'll be the biggest heel in Scotland if he does. I don't think he cares. So that's really the only question left to be answered. We had our first Queen of the Ring quarterfinal match of the night. A nice shiny crown, yeah. They're going to do this for a nice shiny crown. Yeah, that'd be great. That would be wonderful if that's what's on the line. Queen of the Ring quarterfinal, Io Sky against Shayna Baszler, who beat Maxine Dupree in Macon, Georgia this weekend to earn her spot here in the quarterfinals. It was supposed to be Shayna Baszler against Zelina Vega, who won the Queen's Crown, which I like to forget, in 2021. Zelina Vega was not medically cleared. It feels like half the people in these fucking tournaments are not medically cleared. What is going on right now in WWE? Drew McIntyre, not medically cleared. Bobby Lashley, not medically cleared. Asuka, not medically cleared. Zelina Vega, not medically cleared. Did I miss anybody? There's still time. I'm not trying to will it into existence. We still have many more matches yet to come, though. I probably shouldn't say anything. But I mean, it's ridiculous. But really, when you look at it, nobody in the world expected Zelina Vega to beat Shayna Baszler. Even less people expected Maxine Dupree. You may as well just have given her a forfeit. Just give her a bye into the next round. I mean, did anybody honestly believe it was going to go any other way? Michael Cole pointed out the history between Io and Shayna from their days in Stardom. Not even NXT, but from their days in Stardom 7 years ago. That's where they met for the first time, one-on-one, and they had some tag matches as well. But their first singles match ever against each other was in 2017. It was in Japan. It was in a Stardom ring. So Io made her entrance with Kairi Sane and Dakota Kai, and she was checking out So now when you walk out, what they've done is they have added two cases on either side of the aisle when you walk out on stage. One that has in a case the King of the Ring crown, and in the other one they have the Queen of the Ring crown. So whenever you walk out to the ring, you pass by them, and Io was, you know, admiring the Queen's crown. The other members of Damage Control, they went to the back. As Io was posing on the robe, Shayna Baszler showed up from just out of nowhere, and she dumped her to the floor. Baszler attacked Io, got pulled off by referees heading into commercial. When they came back, they joined the match already in progress. Baszler targeted the left arm of Io, wrapped the arm around the frame of the ring post, and kicked at it. Back inside, Baszler got Io on the ropes and joined her. Io stuffed the suplex attempt and landed on her feet, and then she shoved Shayna, who got her leg tied up in the top rope while she was hanging, dangling on the outside of the ring. So the referee freed her, she fell to the floor. So Io followed with an acai moonsault onto Baszler on the floor. They used a replay of that moonsault to take us into the commercial break, which was different. And it's a small thing. Again, in the grand scheme, it's just a minor point. But I thought that was a neat little production change. And what it reminded me of is if you're watching an NFL game, go watch the NFL on Fox or whatever channel, really, CBS, and they'll replay a recent play and that'll take us into commercial. it's, again, it's something you don't really think about, but we don't see that on WWE programming. Well, we did tonight. We did in that opening match. Small thing, but I liked it. I thought it was neat. So Io hit a springboard dropkick and then a running double knee strike to the back for two. She tried this wild cradle to try to pin Shayna. Baszler reversed into a Kirifuda clutch. Io reversed that into a crossface. Shayna fought out of it. Baszler went for a knee strike, and Io caught her leg, hit a dragon screw, then Meteora in the corner, and then her over the moonsault, which landed perfectly to send Io Sky to the semifinals. The crowd was quiet for the beginning part of this match, but after they came back from the commercial break, they were into it. This was really good. And Io worked as babyface, kind of by default. She was the de facto babyface during this match. Are they testing the waters? I don't know. They knew what they were doing when they made this match, right? They knew these two were going to be meeting in the tournament. So I don't know if it was a little bit of an experiment or not. Jackie Redmond interviewed Io in the ring after the match. Io took the mic, said something in Japanese, basically that she was going to be the champion again. So we got, I should point out here, another glitch and a QR code at the beginning of this match. And this was, I believe, the first time that the announcers have actually acknowledged it. Usually it just happens and they don't say anything about it. At least to my knowledge, this was the first time they actually acknowledged it on the air. Pat McAfee said something about it. And Michael Cole said, yeah, you know, we've been seeing a lot of these lately. Now, the code, for those who didn't check it out, the code leads to a video. And in the video, they show you a list on a computer of a bunch of file names that are in a folder. And it cuts back and forth to various images, I guess, as the person is clicking on the image file name. It cuts back and forth to show you different images, the last of which shows a 3.5-inch floppy disk. Boy, that's taken me back. The floppy disk. You know, if you walk up to some people these days and ask them if they want to see your floppy disk, you know, you could be sued for sexual harassment. But back in the day, I had, you know, you had the 3.5-inch ones and the 1.5-inch floppy disks. It's always sad when you get a 1.5-inch floppy. But anyway, so they show a 3.5-inch floppy disk. On it is the date 5/16/24. And also, which is this Thursday, by the way, and the time written on it is 4 p.m. It also had the word witch written on it. So I guess the question is, what happens on Thursday at 4 o'clock? I don't know. But there was also a newspaper clipping in here that they showed. They were kind of scanning down an old newspaper story about a woman who went missing. I am completely lost. I've checked out some of the codes. Some of the other codes I haven't. If I actually believed that this was leading to something, like these clues were going to make sense in the end, I might be more excited. But I am someone who was completely jaded by the ARG for Cloverfield many years ago. That was my first time really getting into one of these ARG type things. And I was so disappointed when the movie came out. Everything that I had spent months on the website and everywhere else piecing together little clues for what it all meant and Slusho and this and that, only for it to not mean a fucking thing, has me completely jaded. I don't waste my time with any of this shit. I'm just waiting for the debut. I'm not sure any of this is even going to matter in the end. But yes, that movie, I don't know, man. The viral marketing for that movie just has me completely jaded for everything else. And that movie came out in 2008, and I still haven't gotten over it. I don't care how many years go by. I haven't forgotten. So it could be Twitch, some people are saying. Something on Twitch at 4 o'clock. That would make sense. I mean, there's no TV show on at 4 o'clock. No wrestling show at 4 o'clock on Thursday. So we shall see. Damian Priest entered the Judgment Day clubhouse to find Carlito, who shaved his mustache but kept his beard, talking with Dominic and Finn Balor and JD McDonagh. Carlito said that they could use some extra muscle with Rhea Ripley out. By the way, did you see there is a photo going around of, I think it's a recent photo. I think they were at a Publix out shopping, food shopping. It was Buddy Matthews and Rhea Ripley. And a fan saw them, a fan saw Rhea anyway, and wanted a picture. So Rhea took a picture with him. First of all, Rhea looks like she's not wearing any pants, which is kind of weird. But she's taking a picture with this guy. And in the background, I think he's waiting in line. And he's looking. He's got this look into the camera. But he's like far off in the distance is poor Buddy Matthews just standing there like a fucking nobody. How many times a day do you think that happens? Like, oh, hey, yeah. Oh, yeah, Rhea, I want to talk to you. Hey, buddy, can you take this picture for me? How many times has Buddy Matthews had to be the designated photographer, do you think, in situations like this? I don't know who took this photo, but just him in the background, priceless. Priceless. I actually felt bad for him. So, yes, he said you can use some extra muscle with Rhea Ripley not being around. He was talking to them when Priest said, look, the rest of the Judgment Day, they could work with you if they want to, but as far as I'm concerned, you are not welcome here. Carlito knew that Priest didn't trust him, but he figured that he would at least trust his boys. So Carlito said even the most stubborn minds can be changed, and maybe one day we can all be amigos. Buddy was pissed. Oh, man. Okay, so Fire Panda has a very interesting point here. The lady that is missing from the newspaper clipping I just mentioned, this is according to Fire Panda, the lady that was missing was a therapist in a commercial that Fox did for WWE. The Fiend made her disappear. I see. Okay. So there's at least one actual tie-in, I guess, to the story. So now we know who the missing woman is. Of course, we still have no idea where she is. But thank you for that. Now, in the back, we saw the members of the Alpha Academy. They were all lined up for their weekly session of shame, as I call it, by Chad Gable. Gable told Maxine she blew her Queen of the Ring opportunity and embarrassed the entire group. Gable said that they could all make up for it tonight. Now, initially, he said that Otis would wrestle Bronson Reed, but then he changed his mind. He said, no, I need my A guy to be up against the champion, so it's going to be Otis against Sami Zayn. But Gable wanted the serious version of Otis to soften up Sammy for his intercontinental title match coming up at King and Queen of the Ring. So he didn't want to see the worm. He didn't want to see any hip swiveling. Otis said he understood. Gable said, I want to hear you say the words. Then Otis said, no matter what. And he walked off. Gable told Tozawa, don't blow it tonight against Bronson Reed. Ivy Nile approached Maxine Dupri after the Academy left. And Nile said, why didn't you tell me about your Queen of the Ring match this weekend? I could have helped you train. And Maxine said, well, Coach Gable doesn't want me training outside the Academy. And Ivy told her, you know, you don't need to listen to him. Gable came back. He told Maxine, go train. What are you doing here? Go train. Go do something. Go do anything. So off she went. And then Gable turned to Ivy and had some free advice for her. Stop wasting your time with Taylor Not-So-Swift. Gable is great. Gable is great. I love Chad Gable. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm going to confess something to all of you right now. I have something I have been meaning to get off my chest, and I hate myself for even saying it, but I believe in Joe Hendry. I have not been able to get that damn song out of my head all week. But in all seriousness, we all carry around things that we want to get off our chest, all kinds of stressors, and keeping them bottled up, it's not healthy for you. It's not a good thing. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. I've gotten messages from listeners just like yourself that have heard me talk about BetterHelp and have taken advantage of the special offer I've been talking about. That was their foot in the door to try the service out. They've talked about how much it's helped them with whatever problem it is that they've been dealing with. And it doesn't matter how big or small it may be. You know, sometimes just having somebody to talk to can be super helpful. And learning how to set boundaries. Maybe you don't have the confidence on your own or the knowledge even on how best to deal with whatever is stressing you out. It can be life-changing to finally be able to do that. And it isn't just for people that have been through a trauma in their lives. Therapy is for everyone, and it can help teach you how to cope with whatever may be stressing you out. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's all online and flexible enough to fit into your schedule. To get started, just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and even better, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge if at any point you feel you need to do so. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Kathy Kelly interviewed Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods in a hallway in the back. Woods was using a crutch to sell his storyline leg injury. Kingston said tonight was about payback and giving Gunther what he deserved for what he did to Woods. Kofi went toe-to-toe with the greatest luchador of all time this weekend, Rey Mysterio, and it reminded him that there was no room for fear, self-doubt, or failure in the ring. He knew what this tournament meant to Woods. Woods said that King of the Ring brought honor, but he couldn't defend that honor thanks to Gunther, so Gunther will get his ass beat by one of the greatest champions ever, and he will learn why New Day rocks. So then it was out to the arena. And in the ring, Samantha Irvin had a special guest. She introduced the legendary Lillian Garcia, who was visiting in Greenville. They were in Greenville, I believe, right? Greenville. She was visiting at the show tonight. She had posted something earlier on social media. So Lillian gave Samantha her flowers and really put her over on the mic before introducing Kofi Kingston for the next match. Lillian Garcia still looks exactly the same. And she's been off television now for a few years. But Lillian looks exactly the same, and it is just impossible for me to believe that this woman is almost 60 years old. Like, it's just impossible for me to even conceive of this. But she is. After a break in the back, R-Truth met with Adam Pearce. And The Miz showed up, and he was very nervous that Truth maybe just set him up for a title match with somebody, God knows who. And Pierce assured him that you're not defending the titles tonight. There is no title match. And Miz was wondering why he still feels so nervous. So Raw's newest recruit from NXT showed up, Kiana James. She entered the scene. She said that she looked forward to working under the tutelage of Adam Pearce, and she would leverage her opportunities and show why she is the 1%. And Pearce told her not to hesitate to contact him. Yeah, I'll bet. Here, let me give you my personal number. Don't hesitate to call me, day or night. So James said that, I don't hesitate, I adjudicate. I hope that's not her fucking catchphrase. It's pretty fucking bad. I don't hesitate, I adjudicate, is what she said. And then she walked off. And Truth didn't know what that meant and thought that her comment wasn't PG. Now, I would tell you that she sounded completely unnatural here. No person, no wrestler would speak like this on a wrestling show, but this is the character. She was the businesswoman. This is the character that she portrayed in NXT. So really, it's just an extension of the character she was already playing. We had Gunther against Kofi Kingston, quarterfinal match in the King of the Ring tournament. As I mentioned, Kofi beat Rey Mysterio over the weekend to earn this spot. By the time Gunther made his entrance, Lillian was gone. So Samantha Irvin did the introduction for Gunther. I don't know why. I guess she vanished. She introduced Kofi and she said, that's good enough for me. You want to put me to work? You got to pay me. Otherwise, I'm going to go take a seat in the front row and enjoy the show. So Gunther got drop-kicked off the apron by Kofi before he could even get in the ring and get his jacket off. And then he hit Gunther with a suicide dive. Kofi slammed Gunther's right knee against the LED board on the apron. And then he kicked the knee a few times. Gunther entered the ring, and then Kofi wrenched the knee over the apron and then slammed it against the ring post. So with Gunther down and favoring his leg, the referee decided, hey, this is a great time to start this match. So now we were officially underway. Kingston hit a diving leg drop for a two count. He tried another suicide dive. Gunther caught him, though, and slammed him back first into the ring apron. And then Gunther dropped him back first onto the barricade and then back first onto the announce desk. And then he applied a Boston Crab on top of the announce desk as they went into commercial. So Gunther was in control until Kofi started going after the leg again. Gunther blocked an SOS attempt. Kingston hit a flying crossbody. Gunther got a Boston Crab, but Kingston got out of it and then hit an SOS. Got a two count. Gunther wrapped Kingston around the ring post, his whole body, and he bent him backwards, and he was torturing this man. So moments later, Kingston countered a powerbomb attempt, sent Gunther. They were outside the ring. I'll paint a picture for you here. They're over where the announce table is, so they're outside the ring on the floor. Gunther picks him up for a powerbomb, and Kofi goes over. He takes him over, so he counters it, and it sends Gunther hurtling face first into the ring post. Kingston followed that with the Trouble in Paradise, still on the floor. Referee starts counting. Kofi's back at the ring. Gunther barely makes it back into the ring at the count of 10. Just beat the 10 count. In the ring, Gunther avoided Trouble in Paradise for a second time, hit a powerbomb with a stack. Kofi kicked out. When he did, though, as soon as Kofi Kingston kicked out, Gunther immediately transitioned into a Boston Crab, and it did not take long, maybe 5-6 seconds max, because he was focusing on the lower back for a good part of this match. Kofi had nowhere to go. They were in the middle of the ring, and much like Sheamus the week before in the half crab, Kofi taps out. Good match. So much for his revenge for his boy, right? I'm going to avenge Woods. Yeah, good job there, buddy. Didn't work out. And it should be noted here, even though he's a heel, Kofi Kingston lost here clean to Gunther. Xavier Woods lost clean to Gunther. Now Sheamus lost last week. It wasn't clean. But two clean wins here over both members of New Day. I said this on Friday. If you were with me live, as you should be every week, for the SmackDown review, shame on you if you were not. Shame on you who, shame on those of you who have actual plans on Friday night. How dare you? Your only plan should be here. But I mentioned this in the review. I said after Randy Orton beat AJ Styles to advance to the next round, I noted that Randy was selling a knee injury. If you'll remember, a week ago on this show, when Gunther beat Sheamus, what did he do? How did he beat Sheamus, right? He was focusing on the knee. After Ludwig Kaiser took that cheap shot, he got ejected. Gunther honed in on that knee. The knee was the focus. He beat Sheamus with a half crab. He tapped him out last week, right? He brutalized the knee. Well, Randy Orton had a knee injury at the end of that match on Friday. And I made the comment that it feels to me anyway, if you believe as I do, that Randy Orton is going to go to the finals and Gunther is going to go to the finals, we're going to get a Randy Orton and Gunther final in Saudi Arabia. The reason that Gunther has really started focusing on that, you know, the half crab, the Boston crab, and he's used it before, he beat Miz with it at Survivor Series last year. But they're focusing on it now, and he beat Sheamus with it because I believe it's going to play a role in the finals against an injured Randy Orton. Well, Randy Orton doesn't just have a bad knee. Randy Orton has a surgically repaired back, which is the part of the body that Gunther was focusing on here in the match with Kofi. So it all just makes too much sense to me that those two are going to the finals, and Randy Orton is going to put up a hell of a fight, but he's got a wonky back. He's got that bad knee now, it looked like, after Friday. And that's going to be the target of Gunther if they go one-on-one in the finals. So I'm sticking with that as my prediction, and I just think that all of these things that are happening here with these moves and these little injuries that they're selling, it's because that's the match that we're going to get in the finals, and that's going to be the story of that match. Now backstage, Jackie Redmond interviewed Lyra Valkyria. Holding my nuts. That's not what she said. That's not what Lyra said. Just in the chat, our boy Holden My Nuts is with us. Says, sorry, the bars and the nightclubs need me. Really? You're going to pick the bars and the nightclubs over me? I don't blame you. Maybe I should do one of these streams from a nightclub. Maybe I should go call one up and see if we can work something out here. That'd be a hell of a stream, wouldn't it? Solo After Dark from some club in the city. Somehow I think the audio would be a little shitty on that. You probably wouldn't be able to hear me, so that's not going to work. But Jackie was interviewing Lyra ahead of her Queen of the Ring match tonight. Lyra said that she sent the message to Damage Control last week, and they better get used to her. And she also said that she's got Becky Lynch's back. And as soon as she mentioned Becky Lynch, who shows up? Becky Lynch, like magic. And Becky wished her luck tonight, left. Interview continued, but then she got interrupted by Liv Morgan. And Morgan said that, Lyra, you'll have fun here on Raw. She's happy to have her here on Monday Night Raw. Said you're going to have fun here on this show. But then she says, Liv says, I do have one question for you. Says, has Becky always been such a bitch? And Lyra said, well, you could ask her yourself. And the camera panned out to show Becky standing behind Liv, right? So to the right, if you're watching on TV, which is hilarious because in the previous shot, Becky left, exit stage left. So how she ended up behind her on the right, I don't know. But there she was. Becky Lynch was standing there. And then Becky dropped Liv with the most god-awful punch that I've ever seen. Actually, I take that back. The most god-awful punch or punches that I've ever seen are still the Phantom Shane McMahon ghost punches against Randy Orton in 09. That's still number one. But this was not much better. I don't know. I don't know what this was. She just kind of like put her fist out. And Liv had a sell for it. It dropped Liv. And then she leaned down and Becky said that, you're the one who's scared of a face-to-face tonight. And then she called her a bitch and she walked off. Now, it's not as if Becky Lynch does not know how to throw a punch. I just saw this woman only a few weeks ago. It looked like she broke this kid's jaw when she punched Dominic in the face, okay, and dropped him with a punch in the middle of the ring. So I know this woman is capable of throwing a good-looking punch. This was not one. This was not one of them. They played the old ECW theme song. And I was typing something, and then I hear the ECW music, and I'm thinking, what the fuck? What is this? Like, who's coming out? And then I look, and they have the advertisement on screen for 2K24. So for those who don't know, Michael Cole here, he hyped up what they're calling the ECW Punk Pack DLC for WWE 2K24. It launches this Wednesday. The Sandman is in it. So they showed him on screen. It was Sandman. It's Terry Funk. It's the Dudleys. And it's CM Punk, who would have fit right into the original ECW. If they would have held on for a couple more years, CM Punk, I'm telling you, Paul Heyman would have pushed that guy to the moon in the original ECW. But, you know, I see Sandman on the screen and I'm like, holy shit, I go between this and Dark Side of the Ring. This man has gotten more television exposure in the last 2 weeks than he has in the last 15 plus years. So yeah, if you want to play as Sandman, I don't know what they're charging for this DLC, but it drops on Wednesday. Kofi Kingston was in the back. He was limping through the hallway when Karrion Kross approached him. And he called it a tough loss, but said, it's always time to turn things around. And he walked off. Xavier Woods appeared. He gave Kofi some ice for his back. And he asked, what did Kross want? And Kofi said, I don't know. He wasn't sure. Run, Kofi. Run. That's my advice to Kofi Kingston. Run. Don't walk. I know poor Xavier Woods can't run right now. He's got one leg. It's a Final Testament feud. Run before it's too late. Bronson Reed, one-on-one with Akira Tozawa, who had Chad Gable in his corner. Tozawa got a little flurry of offense at the beginning of the match, including a missile dropkick. Then he stopped to tear his shirt off, and this upset Chad Gable, who did not want any showmanship here. Reed caught Tozawa when he went for a top rope move, hit a Death Valley driver. And then Reed flattened him with the tsunami splash. And that was it. We have a pancake in the middle of the ring. And Bronson Reed pins Akira Tozawa in about a minute. I mean, Chad Gable is right. He's a bunch of fucking losers here. I have no idea why he continues to hang around with these people. I don't know why he bothers. Kathy Kelly in the back tried to interview Gunther. Ludwig Kaiser chastised her for bothering Gunther right after his hard-fought match here. And then she asked him about his involvement in Gunther's match against Sheamus last week. And Kaiser said that Sheamus is delusional if he thinks that he had anything to do with him losing. He said that he would expose and embarrass Sheamus next week. Backstage, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, they approached Adam Pearce while he was being interviewed by Jackie Redmond. Bate thanked him for giving them an opportunity. And then Pearce announced that there will be a fatal four-way on this show tonight involving the New Catch Republic, the Creed Brothers, Authors of Pain, and the Judgment Day, Finn Balor and JD McDonagh. The winners of that match will be the number one contenders for the World Tag Team titles. So then, after that was over, Jackie asked Adam Pearce why he did not include Bron Breakker in the King of the Ring tournament. And Pierce said that he explained to Braun that the wrestlers on the Raw side of the King of the Ring bracket have earned it at the highest level. Now, I have to stop here for a second. He says that on the Raw side of the bracket, the people in the tournament have earned it at the highest level. Now, I am a big Ilya Dragunov guy. I love Dragunov. I think he is fantastic. I think he's going to be a big star on the main roster, right? He's already getting over. What exactly has Ilya Dragunov done on the Raw roster that Bron Breakker hasn't, right? Because Bron Breakker is a former NXT champion, just like Ilya Dragunov is, right? They come from the same place, okay? They've eaten in the same place. They've dined in the same place. They cut their teeth in the same place. So why would Ilya Dragunov be befitting of a King of the Ring spot, but not Bron Breakker, right? That's kind of silly. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Doesn't really make a lot of sense to Bron Breakker either. Pierce said that he didn't want to shove Breakker in the deep end of the pool. So Bron shows up, and he says that his opponents are the ones who would have been in the deep end with him. And he would have shoved them underwater and watched them drown. And he said that he should have been in the damn tournament, and then he walked away. He's not wrong. Bron Breakker, he's got a point. He's got a point. And so does Tay in the chat, who points out that Bron has pinned Gunther. Something else that he has in common with Ilya Dragunov. Both men have beaten Gunther. So again, I ask you, what has Ilya Dragunov done that this man has not? Kind of a goofy explanation. I actually am okay, though. I agree with them keeping him out. And the reason I agree with it is, if he was not at least going, he doesn't even have to win the whole thing. But if you're going to put Bron Breakker in the King of the Ring, if he's not at least going deep into the finals, then there's no point in putting him in the tournament. And obviously, they didn't have any intention of him going deep. He's not even in the fucking thing. So if that's the case, better to keep him out. We had Lyra Valkyria against Zoe Stark, quarterfinal in the Queen of the Ring tournament. This went through an early break. Lyra fought back when they came back. She spiked Zoe with a tornado DDT. They traded counters until Stark hit a reverse suplex for two. Lyra hit a spinning heel kick. Zoe suplexed her, though, into the turnbuckles for two. Lyra blocked a Z360 attempt and then hit her Nightwing finish for the win to advance to the next round. And so, what we have here, this is your semifinal match. It's going to be taking place on Raw next Monday. It'll be Io Sky one-on-one with Lyra Valkyria, which should be a very good match. Don't have an issue with Lyra in the ring. I think she's a good wrestler. I know Io Sky's a great wrestler, so it's going to be a fine match. Jackie Redmond interviewed Lyra in the ring afterwards, and she called herself a former NXT Women's Champion. And spoke some Gaelic. At first, I had no idea what she was saying. I really didn't. I'm like, what is this? And then they pointed out on commentary that she was speaking Gaelic. I feel like I understood. I understood Io Sky more in her promo. She spoke Japanese. So she spoke a little Gaelic. And then she says that she only travels as the cow fly, the cow, as the crow, she only travels as the, let's rewind that and start over again. She says she only travels as the crow flies. There's no flying cow. I don't know. Maybe there are. Are there flying cows over in Ireland? I have not been to Ireland before. Perhaps there are flying cows. That is terrifying, by the way, to think about, because how fucking dirty would that be? Imagine you're walking by a flying cow. I mean, I deal with the birds here on the Van Wyck in New York. I can't imagine what that would be like. But yes, no, no flying cows. What have I been drinking? I don't know. I don't know. What is in this? I don't know. Whatever it is, it's good. It's good. Apparently, I'm seeing flying cows. You know, now that I see her, every time I see her now, this is what I'm going to think of. I'm going to think, yeah, see all the cow emojis now. I'm going to think of flying cows. So, she says she only travels as the cow flies straight to the top. This was good, the match itself. The match was good. The fans now have taken to wooing during parts of her entrance music. So at least, you know, her music is getting over. There were parts of this match where people were actually chanting, "Let's go, Lyra." She was getting those chants. So that's a good sign for her. No, it's not. It is not the, no, I did that on Tuesday. The vodka was Tuesday, and that was not 35% alcohol by volume. That was 37.5% alcohol by volume. We had a good time on Tuesday. We had a good time. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. Got a little something to show you. Intercontinental champion, Sami Zayn, non-title, one-on-one with Chad Gable's number one guy. Remember, he says, "I want my number one guy to go against Sami Zayn, Otis." This did not go much longer than that Tozawa match did earlier. The Tozawa match went about a minute. This lasted two. Otis got Sammy down, and he starts gyrating. He starts gyrating, setting up for the worm. And Chad Gable doesn't like this, because Chad Gable specifically told him, no worm, no dancing, no worm, none of that, none of those shenanigans. And so he goes up on the apron, and he tells him no, and everybody boos. And Otis says, basically, fuck it. He rips his shirt off, and he proceeds to hit the worm and then drop the elbow on Sammy. And so Chad is like, all right, go, go. You know, hit his finish, basically. So Otis goes to the ropes. He goes for his finish. Zayn moved out of the way on the Vader bomb, and Sammy followed that with the Huluva kick and scored the pin. After the match, Gable is yelling at Otis. He gives him a shove upside the head. Sammy returns, and he gets back into the ring, and he gives Gable an exploder into the corner. He's setting up for a Huluva kick. Gable ducks out of the ring, though. Otis runs over, and he helps Gable to his feet, and Gable kind of shakes it off and comes to his senses and realizes Otis is helping him, and he pushes him away. He doesn't want his help. He goes, this was actually your fault, and he smacks him right across the face. And Gable goes to leave, and the camera just stays there, and they zoom in on Otis's face, and he just looks so sad. And everybody is booing, because now Otis is sad, and Chad Gable is the biggest dick in the world, right? He's just the biggest prick. So he's getting a lot of good heat for bullying and abusing these people. And Gable is calling for him. He goes, let's go. Come on. So then Otis turns around, and they walk. He looked like he was about to cry. It's going to be a big moment when Otis finally does fight back. That's what they're building towards here. But I will say, the quicker that Gable drops the dead weight, the better. The quicker he drops the dead weight and he recruits the Creeds, with or without Ivy Nile, I don't care. I could take it or leave it. But I want to see Gable and the Creeds together as a serious trio at the end of all this. That's what I want to see. Braun Strowman was in the back. He was having a chat with the aforementioned Creeds and Ivy Nile, and he was putting them over and complimenting them when J.D. McDonagh walked up. he walked up to Braun and he warned him. He goes that, we don't appreciate you getting involved in Judgment Day business. So this was a warning. And then he turns and he leaves. And he took that about as seriously as you would expect. He mocked the fact that I've been warned by the Judgment Day. We're with the wipers. We're with the wipers. Yeah. So he's shaking in his boots, and then he goes back to having his conversation. And that was the extent to which Braun Strowman worked on the show tonight. Didn't do much beyond that. The women's world champion, Becky Lynch, the iron fist that she is, one-on-one non-title against Dakota Kai. Becky, I should mention the report, I think it was from Fightful the other day, still, as of just the other day, has not signed a new contract with WWE. Her current deal is up. We're talking days and weeks. We're not even talking months. We're talking days and weeks at this point until her contract is up, and she's the world champion. So if they can't reach... Now, she's not going to go anywhere else. I mean, can't imagine it. But, you know, they could be haggling about money. They could be haggling about schedule. Maybe she doesn't want to work as many dates. I don't know. I don't know what's taking so long. You'd think they would have her locked up. They got Drew locked up. Seth, didn't they? I think Seth, too. Seth just signed a contract. I think somebody else did not too long ago. So you would think that she would be a priority. As of a few days ago, still no deal. But when they go to Saudi Arabia in a few weeks, if Liv Morgan wins the title from her, that could be indicative of something, or that could be indicative of nothing, because I think Liv may be winning the title anyway. So Dakota missed a running boot in the corner, and Becky followed with a thrust kick. After a break, Becky hit a diving leg drop as Dakota was draped over the middle rope. Lynch hit a superplex and transitioned into an armbar. So Dakota tried a few counters. Becky got a disarmer applied. As soon as she got the armbar applied, Io and Kairi hit the ring and they attacked Becky for the DQ. So Damage Control was beating down Becky until Bird Girl. Here she comes. When the cows came home, here comes Lyra Valkyria running down to the ring to make the save. We got a little face-off between Lyra and Io, who are going to be opponents in the semifinals next week in the Queen of the Ring. Liv Morgan jumped Becky from behind, posted her shoulder first, and Becky fell out of the ring to the floor, and Liv bailed as Lyra went to go check on Becky. I actually thought this was a pretty dull match. I thought this was very weak. I was surprised also. I mean, if you're a Dakota Kai fan, you're probably happy about it. You should be happy about it. I was surprised that they protected her on that finish. I thought that they would just have Becky win. She's the champion, gives her some momentum going into Saudi, and then you could have Damage Control attack her when the match is over. But they didn't do that. As soon as she got the disarm her applied, they ran in, caused the DQ, and it spared Dakota from a clean loss. And I just thought that was surprising. I wasn't expecting them to do that. I guess that's a good sign that they want to protect Dakota in some way. Jackie Redmond interviewed Ilya Dragunov in the back. And he said that it was a dream. And by the way, I should mention the fact that he's a very good promo. You know, you hear a lot about his in-ring ability, his technical ability, his working skills. He's like an artist when you watch him. And when he goes in the ring, he's painting a picture. He's very, very good at what he does. He's very good at selling. He's very emotive with his facial expressions and his mannerisms. He's a very animated guy. But he's also a pretty solid promo. And I thought this was also a very solid promo. He's talked about how it would be a dream for others to be in this spot. But it wasn't enough for it to just, you know, for him to just be there. Said that he was there to make a moment, night in and night out. He called himself the Czar of the ring. He also let us know that he has beaten Gunther before and it was not over between them. And then at that moment, who should show up but Gunther? And we got our first main roster face-to-face with these two men. Gunther just looked at him and smiled, never said a word, and then he left. So there it is. There's the first tease. And if you were hoping like I was that they were teasing something and you would only have to wait 7 days to get it, well, boy, were you disappointed when this show was over. But when this match eventually happens, this fucking match right here, this match right here is going to tear the house down. It would be impossible for them not to. The times that they have worked together in the past have been some of the best matches WWE has produced all year, whatever year it was. And I am sure that when they meet again, it will be no different. I am very much looking forward to that. We had a Fatal 4-Way number one contenders match. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, the Creed Brothers, the New Catch Republic, and the Authors of Pain. I thought this was fun. It's a fun match here. Dunn and Bate, they wiped out AOP with dives as Julius did a vertical leap just in one fell swoop right up to the top rope, hit a giant superplex to Finn Balor for a two count. A PD Shaw. This became a sound-off superstar. Hey, PD, what's going on, man? Welcome to the channel. One of the 80,000 plus. You know, with Gunther and Dragunov, as they say, good things come to those who wait. It's just that some people don't want to wait as long as others. AOP powerbomb Balor and McDonagh after their super collider. Before sending Dunn and Bate out of the ring, Brutus Creed suplexed Akam before wiping out Rezar, Dunn, and his own brother with a Brutus ball all the way down to the floor. In the ring, Tyler Bate slowly lifted Akam up on his shoulders into an airplane spin. It's such an easy reaction from the crowd. It works every time. This was no different. Dunn and Bate, they gave Balor a double team suplex. McDonagh broke up the pin. Dunn went after McDonagh on top of the announce table, but he got attacked from behind by Carlito. And Carlito gave Dunn a backstabber on the table, so sacrificing himself for the Judgment Day. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that on top of the table? He hurt himself more than he hurt the other guy, probably. But he was sacrificing himself. He was showing he could be a team player. He was showing that he could be trusted. So he hit the backstabber. McDonagh tossed Dunn into the ring, and then Balor hit Dunn with a coup de grace for the win. And Balor looked over at Carlito when the match was over, very approvingly. And the Judgment Day, they are now the new number one contenders for the tag team titles. I wasn't expecting it to be Dunn and Bate. I didn't want it to be AOP. I really didn't want that. And as far as the Creeds, I would have loved for it to be the Creeds. But again, I'm looking ahead further down the road from where they are now. The Creeds as like the heel World Tag Team Champions. Chad Gable is the heel Intercontinental Champion. That's what I'd like to see. And the Creeds are still baby faces. You have to do the turn first. So I kind of figured it wasn't going to be them either. The focus of the show is still very much on the Judgment Day. So I wasn't shocked by this, but of the four teams, if I had the choice of who I would have liked to have seen gone on, it would have been the Creeds. But, you know, against Miz and R-Truth, they're baby faces. Creeds are still baby faces. I didn't really think it was realistic. In the back, Ilya Dragunov was warming up, getting ready for his main event match, when Ricochet walked up to him, and Ricochet wanted to show respect. Said we had a hell of a match, but he told him that the outcome will be different when you and I do it again. And Ricochet wished him luck and told him to get the crown. Elsewhere, Damian Priest was talking with Dominic inside the Judgment Day clubhouse, and he asked if he and Rhea are okay. Are you guys good? And Dom said, yeah. And before he could say anything else, in walked Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, Carlito. They were all celebrating. Carlito noticed that Priest was not celebrating, and he said that he would leave because he knew when he wasn't wanted. He went to go leave, and Damian Priest stopped him and said, what you did out there, that was cool. And Priest asked Carlito, you do plan on taking care of business with Rey Mysterio, don't you? And Carlito looked around. He said, yeah, of course I do. And Priest said, well, that's good because we don't hang around with cowards. Of course, that doesn't explain why Dominic is there, but we'll roll with it. And we're going to roll right on into our main event, which was Jey Uso one-on-one with Ilya Dragunov, quarterfinal King of the Ring tournament match. Jey hit Dragunov with an early suicide dive that sent Dragunov into the broadcast table. Dragunov came back with a leaping kick and then cleared off the announce desk and put Jay on top of it. Dragunov then climbed on top of the barricade right behind the announce desk, and he went to go deliver an H-bomb. But he hit the table instead with his forearm when Jay rolled off the table. He rolled out of the way. Jay got back into the ring to break the referee's count. Then he rushed right back out to the floor. He speared Dragunov over the announce desk, and they all tumbled over. That took us into commercial. When they came back, the fans had started a "This is awesome" chant. Jey Uso was bleeding from the ear. He has an ear hole for an earring. I couldn't tell if the earring was in his ear, but that's where he was bleeding from. Pat McAfee said it was from a kick. Dragunov powerbombed Jey and then followed up with his H-bomb forearm smash. On the mat, he covered him. Jey kicked out. Dragunov went back to the corner. He signaled for the Torpedo Moscow, but as he came out, Jey Uso cut him off with a spear. He went up to the top rope, and he hit one Uso splash, and he pinned him to advance to the semifinals, and I let out an audible "fuck." It sounded something like that. "Fuck." Jey Uso advances in the tournament, and so now, this is your semifinal match next Monday night. It will be Gunther, one-on-one with Jey Uso. Gunther came out. He got into the ring. He went face-to-face with Jey. As I said before, I know why they did it. Jey is the far bigger name and the bigger babyface. Jey is also coming off one big loss already against Damian Priest at Backlash. Now, he beat Balor in the opening round of this tournament, but they don't want to beat Jey Uso too much. As over as he is, he still has to win some matches. Jey Uso is not winning King of the Ring, so they want him to go deep or deeper into the tournament. I'll tell you what, though. You know, I say that Jey Uso is not winning King of the Ring, and he's not. He's not winning. We cannot discount the possibility that Jey Uso may go to the finals. He may beat Gunther next week and go to the finals if Tama Tonga was going to advance and go to the finals. I could see Jey Uso one-on-one with Tama Tonga. It is not the match I want to see. Absolutely not. Under no circumstance should Gunther be losing to Jey Uso next week. You can have Drew McIntyre interfere or cause a distraction, or anybody in the world. I'm not necessarily expecting it to be clean. The only outcome for next week should be Gunther beating Jey Uso and going to the finals of the King of the Ring. That's it. He should not be losing to Jey Uso next week. I don't care how over Jey Uso is. It does worry me a little bit because these two wrestled not that long ago and Gunther beat him already. So I could see, well, you know, Gunther beat him the last time and now Jey Uso has to get his win back. No. Gunther should win the whole thing, but Gunther at least should go to the finals of the tournament. So I am not expecting a Jey Uso win next week, because Gunther should beat him again. As far as Ilya Dragunov is concerned, I don't know if people are already... I didn't even have time to see what the consensus was about this, but I'm sure, because you always have this when somebody new loses. Oh, they're buried. Oh, what are they doing with Dragunov? Now look, I wanted to see Dragunov win. He didn't win. That's just me as a fan. I'm just, again, I'm not bashing WWE. I'm just saying, fuck, I really wanted this guy to win. I really wanted that match next week, just to give people a taste of what Gunther and Dragunov can do. You could always come back a year from now and then rematch them. They didn't do that. But Ilya Dragunov losing to Jey Uso does nothing to hurt Ilya Dragunov. Ilya Dragunov has been on the main roster for all of 2 weeks. He got over in his first match against Ricochet. There were chants of "This is awesome" even in their match tonight, and I didn't think the match was awesome, but people are already getting behind this man. It's been 2 weeks. He's already establishing himself very nicely on the main roster. Losing to somebody like Jey Uso, who is one of the biggest stars in the company right now, popularity-wise, isn't going to kill Ilya Dragunov. He'll be fine. I understand that in a company where people kick out of finishers all the time and everything, he lost to one Uso splash, so maybe that upset some people. I actually wish that they would be more respectful, frankly, to people's finishers. And we didn't have people constantly kicking out of finishers all the time. So I can't hate on that. But Ilya Dragunov is actually doing tremendously well so far. So you don't got to worry about him. He's going to be just fine. And we are going to get the match with him and Gunther. Again, selfishly, I wanted it sooner. But it feels to me like Berlin would be the perfect place for them to go toe-to-toe. Whether there's a title on the line or not, I don't even care. But save the match for later this year. I really don't want them to hold off for another year on this. But we will get this match at some point, and that match will be fucking awesome when it happens. And by that point, Dragunov will be even more established than he is now. So, again, I hate that they teased it, knowing that they weren't going to give it to us, but we will get it at some point. And I actually do think Berlin would be a great place for it to happen. Now, next Monday, we have two semifinal matches, Gunther and Jey Uso, Lyra Valkyria and Io Sky. And the Intercontinental Champion, Sami Zayn, is going to go one-on-one with Chad Gable. Of course, it will be Gable, Bronson Reed, and Sami Zayn in a triple threat in Saudi for the title. So this is a little preview of the triple threat that's coming. Here's the Twitter poll for Raw tonight. 68.5% thumbs up. And just shy of 20% thumbs in the middle, about 12% thumbs down, with just shy of 1,000 votes in so far, an overwhelmingly positive score, I would say, for Raw tonight. You guys seem to enjoy the show, so go ahead and vote. At Solomonster is where you can go. Now, I thanked you guys earlier for helping me get to 80,000 subscribers. And for those who tuned in late, we hit 80K this morning. So thank you for that. Hit that sub button if you haven't. We also hit the goal. So we are going to do Be the Booker later. 400 was the goal. We already smashed that. So thank you for that. Top 10 on Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. It's a good week so far. Week just started. It's already a good week. It's going to be an even better week because tomorrow night I will be live yet again, as I am every week going forward, on JD from New York's channel. We're going to be doing Tuesday Night Titans. This will be our second show together. We got a tremendous response to the first show, north of 50,000 views and almost 4,000 likes. I mean, it was just tremendous feedback that we got. And so we will be live again on his channel, 8:30 Eastern tomorrow night, talking all the big, and maybe not so big, wrestling news stories of the week. But I have to give a shout out to my boy, Andy. Andy Hemshaw is a very talented man. Andy Hemshaw, this is the stuff of nightmares, but I had to share this with you. So this is courtesy of Andy. I guess we are the new rockers, I guess. Look at this. I've never looked so good. I would kill for hair like that. But there it is. Rockin' on Tuesdays, TNT. Look at these two fuckers right here. Andy, you magnificent bastard. Look at this. Is this not the stuff of nightmares or what? It's so seamless on me too. Like it's actually eerie how perfect it is. I feel like I need to frame this and put this on my wall. Anyway, that'll be tomorrow night, 8:30 tomorrow night, TNT. Oh man. The Rockers. Tell you, man, with that hair. My hair used to be that blonde. It's darker now. It used to be that blonde back in the day. See? It does work, right? With Sean's hair. He didn't quite have the mullet yet. He just had the long hair. There you go. Just watch out for the barbershop incident. That's all. I'm glad I'm the Sean in that situation. All right, let's take a look at your super chats. I'd rather be the Sean in that situation. Not that I'm foreshadowing anything I have planned. I'm just saying. All right, let's get to the early super chatters first before we get to the ones on this list here. Let's start with the Carlosis coming in hot with the super chat. Says, enjoy Damian Priest's work out there at the moment. Was spitting some fire tonight. Always enjoyed watching a guy moving from mid-card to main event and making the most of it. Yeah, I mean, look, I think Damian Priest is doing a fine job so far. I just don't think he's going to have that world heavyweight title for much longer. I think his time is ticking away. It's on borrowed time. Donnie Yasu, I'm a simple man. I see Lillian Garcia and I give the show a thumbs up. I'm telling you, this woman has found the fountain of youth. DEH says, Raw, the best wrestling show of the week. Bleed Boston with the $10 super chat. Forgive me if you or anyone has already pitched this, but could you see Bloodline versus Bloodline this year at War Games? Rock Solo and others against Roman Usos and others. I think that would be a hell of a match. Yes, I have pitched that very idea. I've pitched the idea of having, so, hypothetically, it's not going to happen because Rock is too good for Survivor Series. But if Rock were to come back in time, you could do Rock with the new Bloodline, him and Solo and the Gorillas of Destiny against Roman, the Usos, and Jacob Fatu. Is it going to happen in that configuration? Probably not. But it would be perfect. You'd have 4-on-4 for War Games. Arabian Knight, they think they should swap Corbin for Strowman. It pairs Breaker and Corbin together in the interim and get Strowman on SmackDown. They need depth. What are your thoughts? Well, I mean, I would have had Strowman on SmackDown, but they didn't do that. They could always do a trade, but I don't think they're going to do that, so not going to happen. Josh Carlos, 98. Seems like Gunther versus Dragunov will probably be it in Berlin. Just concerned about a potential Jay versus Tama final. I'm hoping it's not building towards it unless Jacob Fatu debuts in some way. Yeah, I don't want to see Jay against Tama in the finals. I have no interest in that. Not in the King of the Ring. Dick the Cock Johnson, Jay versus Tama in the final will be a masterpiece of bad wrestling. Oh, come on now. Don't will that into existence just by speaking it. Don't you realize what you're doing? All right, El Masse. Let's catch up here with the list over here. El Masse with the $25 super chat. I am loving these howdy QR codes. Reminds me of the Cloverfield viral. The Cloverfield viral marketing back in the day. That was so fun to discover all of the secrets in the Easter egg. Yeah, all the secrets in the Easter eggs that went absolutely nowhere. You realize how disappointed I was in that? How much wasted potential there was there? Jerome Eugenio, in your opinion, what is the best tournament the WWF, WWE, has ever done? I'm very partial to the first King of the Ring. And there were some bad matches in that tournament, or matches that weren't that great, but it was the Bret story, and they told that story so well, and I loved that first King of the Ring pay-per-view. They did the whole tournament in one night. I go with King of the Ring 93. I love it. I absolutely love that show. A lot of people, I think, are going to end up telling you Deadly Game. Survivor Series 98 Deadly Game. Too many matches. Too many matches, a lot of shitty ones. I know people will have a soft spot for it, and then the big Rock turn at the end and everything, but it was too big. It was too big. If they did an 8-man tournament, I think it would have been a lot more palatable. I was never in love with it the way that some people are, though. Alex with the $22 super chat. Brother Solo, how long would you wait on revisiting past feuds? As I do the dance with Prince Nana. There you go. Hey, Ace. Shout out to Ace Shock in the chat. Who do I predict will win? Santana or Riddle? That's our Hog Championship match coming up next Friday. I have to be impartial. I'm the commissioner. I can't be telling you who I think is going to win. I have to call it right down the middle. That will be next Friday. How long would I wait on revisiting past feuds? Is rushing back into an old feud between two stars diminishing the quality of the product? Are you talking about any feud in particular? If it makes storyline sense, then the answer is no, it's fine. But in certain situations, yeah, I mean, but I don't have a specific example here. So, Josh Carlos, with SmackDown going to USA, I hope we don't get 3 hours SmackDowns. USA wanted Raw to be 3 hours. It is a scary thought. Maybe Raw 2 hours on Netflix. Wishful thinking. No, by all accounts, Raw will be a 3 hour show. And actually, that is a fear of mine. That USA is going to want SmackDown to be 3 hours. And I hope to God that's not the case, but I am worried about that. Ufman, crowd is paying crazy ass prices to attend Clash at the Castle. Now they will have to sit in their overpriced seats to see Punk screw Drew out of the title. WWE really hates Scotland. Hey, Skip Bayless is back. Hopefully more likable than the real Skip Bayless, who could go take a long walk off a short pier. I never liked that guy. I'll take Stephen A. over Skip Bayless any day of the week. Dev to Dust, would you want to go on a space odyssey? No. I have to stay home. I have to stream. George Divine. We have some divine intervention here in the Super Chats. Does Gunther still have visa issues? Can he travel? If not, then it looks like we'll get Jay against Tonga in the finals to advance Bloodline's story. If he can travel, then I definitely see Gunther against Orton. Yeah, I mean, he was not allowed to leave the country for 6 months, and that was as of October. So he should be good to go. And Tony, well, he is good to go. What am I even saying? He is good to go. He was just in Vienna. He wrestled in his hometown, or his home country, a few weeks ago. They went on the international tour. He was on the tour. So Gunther is good to go. He can go anywhere he wants. Antonio Taylor was at the show tonight. Jey Uso is so over right now. It is crazy. I hope he wins a title soon. I'm fine with that. I don't know what title, but you want to give him a title, that's fine. I have no interest in seeing him go to the finals of the King of the Ring. Alfonso with the $9.99. Hey Solo, today is my birthday. Had a great day with the family, eating Cajun crawfish, drinking, watching good wrestling, and topping the night off with your Raw review. Amazing day, thank you. Alfonso, that sounds like a hell of a day, man, and you're getting me hungry. Talking about all this food. Well, I hope you had a great birthday. It sounds like you did. Happy birthday, Alfonso. Barry MK, as of right now, you can't buy the ECW pack on its own. You will need the season pass, which is $20. Any way to milk you. They're going to milk you like those cows, those flying cows that Lyra Valkyria talked about. They get you going, they get you coming. A JDFVA, remind me what happened at the Van Wick. I'm not getting into this again, because then my blood pressure will go up. But the short Cliff Notes version is that I got a new paint job on my car as I came through the bottom of the overpass on the Van Wick Expressway. They decided to paint my car a shade of white. I do not have a white car, but I did on that day. And a white windshield. And a white rear windshield. And some white door handles that I touched when I opened the door, among other parts of the car. Barry MK, does the Earth spin or does it just turn itself around? Well, I don't know, but AJ Styles seems to think the Earth is flat. He doesn't like it when you bring that up, but he's a flat earther. Of course, he denies that he's a flat earther. He just thinks that there's some interesting stories. They will never get old watching that clip. I mean, he, Daniel Bryan was busting his chops on Talking Smack. You could tell how much it really bothered AJ, and he just went, like, he's like the biggest fucking bully in the world, and Bryan just went all in on him and would not let it go. And he was just completely making fun of him for it. It was great. CNM3443, $4.99. Congrats on 80K. Thank you, sir. I've looked forward to your streams after every show since subscribing. Solo is truly feeding families. with the screams. Feeding families with some of that Cajun crawfish. Gonna be eating well. We'll eat even better if we could hit 90,000. Kevin Dunn's beaver. He's eating well. As the Iron Sheik would say, fucking bullshit. That's right. That's what I was saying at the end of Raw tonight. Nick Grasso. I have a feeling damage control is going to turn on Io Sky out of jealousy and we finally get babyface Io. Then I think Io joins up with Becky and Lyra to feud with Dakota Kai and the Kabuki Warriors. Interesting theory. Although, I don't know, them being jealous? I mean, Io was the champion. They weren't jealous of her then. Why would they be jealous of her now? I feel like we would need a better explanation for that. See, I could actually buy it if Io loses. And then the rest of Damage Control are upset because this was their chance to win the Queen of the Ring, take the crown, Io let them down. To me, that would make more sense than them, you know, betraying her because... You know, because they're jealous of her. Justin G, Lyra gets a mentor, Cow Sting. I will see myself out. Yes, please do, Justin. Come on. Barry says, Rock could come in last for War Games and have a few easy minutes of ring time. Yeah, I mean, that's if he's available. I don't even know if he's going to be available. He said the next time we see him, he'd be coming after Cody. So, I don't know. I don't know when he's going to be available. Hey, Eminem, thank you for the congrats, man. That's right. The road to 90K has begun. The Juliet says gun charges against Cash Wheeler were dropped. I saw that. He was supposed to go to court this week. All of a sudden, they decided not to pursue charges. Perhaps the victim in this case decided not to go forward. I don't know. Lucky him, I guess. Most people with a gun charge, they'd be going to court. He's not going to court. Bobby Means, the world heavyweight title picture for SummerSlam is getting very interesting by the moment. If you had the pen and paper, how would you book it? I don't know. Specifically the world heavyweight championship? I'd put the title on Gunther if it's me. I think getting the title on him no later than Berlin. Either SummerSlam is August 3rd, and Berlin is the last day. I think it might be the 31st of August. I would want the world title on him by then. I don't know if Priest will be the champion, if McIntyre will be the champion. I don't know who the champion will be at that point, but I would want to get that belt on Gunther. I just don't think that Punk and Drew need the title. You know, they have this like blood feud, this grudge feud that doesn't need the title. Dom Joseph. What the fuck are we drinking tomorrow on TNT? I don't know. After last week, probably some high quality H2O. That may be what I'm drinking. That 37.5% knocked me for a loop. That was a bad morning on Wednesday. I didn't even have that much. That's what vodka does. Dr. Shrimp Puerto Rico. What a name. Shrimp Puerto Rico. Whatever happened to Luther Reigns? I don't know where he is today. I know he had some drug issues. He may have been arrested. This was going back years. I don't know where he is today. Hopefully he's doing better, but I don't know. I don't know where he is now. I haven't heard his name mentioned in forever. I have to have a shot of Fireball on Tuesday. I don't have Fireball. Sorry. No Fireball. I have Patron. And I have sworn that I will not drink that anymore, so. Barry says, Luther Reigns' best moment. What's with the Luther Reigns questions? Luther Reigns' best moment was eating peas on a Thanksgiving SmackDown. What is with all the Luther Reigns mentions? I have not thought of Luther Reigns since whatever the last time was that he was on TV. I don't particularly care. I wish the man well. I hope he's doing okay. But yeah, I don't know what the update is on him. Arabian Knight says, Jay needs a new moveset. At the moment, he is just an entrance. He is just an entrance, but he's a very over entrance. So that's all that matters. He sells merch. He's got a cool song. And his entrance is over. At that point, he could super kick for the next 15 minutes and people wouldn't care. You know, with Jey Uso, you know what you're going to get. You know, he seems like a fun guy. He's out there. He's charismatic. The crowd loves him, right? They love bobbing up and down for him. He's got the yeet glasses. Again, he's got to be one of their top merch sellers. In the ring, yeah, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. It is what it is. There's not much there beyond that. Again, I think it was a missed opportunity for either him or his brother not to start incorporating new moves into their moveset when they split, just to differentiate themselves. But they're twins, so I guess they were always going to be the same no matter what, I suppose, right? The Be the Booker gold tonight. Oh boy, we got a couple super chats here. You cut me off. You cut me off in mid-sentence. Hey, Chris Mikesell with the $4.99. Thanks, Solomonster, for the shirt I got from Pro Wrestling Tees. Just got my shirt in the mail. That's awesome. Which shirt? Is it the Solomonster shirt or is it one of the other ones? ProWrestlingTees.com/Solomonster Sounds Off. The link is in the description below. Alex with the $5. Do you make certain changes or approach your Raw and SmackDown reviews differently if the certain episode just sucked really bad? Yeah, I mean, if the episode sucked really bad, then I will come on here and I will fucking lose my shit. So, and you'll know it when it happens, because it used to happen a lot. But otherwise, I mean, as far as the preparation for the actual matches and the segments, no, you just take notes on the segments and the matches, and then you go through it, and you throw in your own commentary as you go along. I mean, the actual format doesn't change. But, if there's a show that bad, oh, believe me, you'll be hearing about it. All right, the goal for Be the Booker tonight, as I said earlier, was 400 likes. We are currently sitting at 464. Let's see if we can hit 500. Is that possible? Can we hit 500 before we get out of here? On the day we hit 80K, can you guys get me to 500 likes? Let's see if you can do it. All right, Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Let's Be the Booker. Let's get her done. All right, tag team Be the Booker. Jey Uso, a much better tag team wrestler than a singles wrestler. The Usos were a great team, and one day they will be again. Perhaps we'll pick them and Be the Booker. We begin with the BWO, Big Stevie Cool, the Blue Meanie, and I forgot his name. That's Simon Dean. But what was his name in the BWO? Why did I forget? Oh, look at Tony Khan. This is a very lewd super chat here. What is Tony doing to Okada in this image? All right, well, we have the BWO. Big Stevie Cool. They're going to be taking out... Oh, Nova. There you go. Nova. Nova. Remember Short Circuit 2? It's Nova. Against Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Goodbye. What a trash match. I don't like that match at all. Hollywood Nova. Hollywood Nova. Yeah, that match is trash. So, unfortunately, we're starting with the buzzer here in Be the Booker. Not the way we want to start these things, but let's keep going here. Maybe we'll have better luck. There will be no clean sweep tonight. But we could still try to go 2 out of 3. That's the goal here. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. Very polarizing figure in wrestling. How are we feeling about Ronda in this match? Are we going to go 0 for 3 tonight? Ronda Rousey going to go one-on-one with Xia Li. What are we thinking here? Xia Li and Ronda Rousey. Oh, man, I'm on the fence. Ronda Rousey and Xia Li. All right. I was on the fence, but I think that's worthy of the bell. I think we give that the bell treatment. That match is crickets. Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, but a reluctant buzzer, very unenthusiastic bell is what I give it. Hey, Carlos is just starting the review, just in time for our main event. Carlos, by the way, has been a channel member for 30 months. All right, main event time. Here we go. Solo Sikoa, the new tribal chief until Roman Reigns returns. Solo Sikoa, from one Solo to another. And Solo Sikoa will be stepping into the ring here in Be the Booker on Monday night, May 13, 2024, against Roosh. Roosh and Solo Sikoa. I'll give that the bell. I'll give that the bell. Roosh will give him the horns. That's how it works. 2 out of 3. At least it wasn't a total loss. And that is Be the Booker. Hey, George Devine with the $5. Luther Reigns, give me some peas. I've had peas before, LOL. Luther Reigns is the head of the Thanksgiving table. Him versus Roman for head of the table in a head of the table match. I think we found the one Luther Reigns fan in the world. Where the hell is Roosh? Didn't Roosh just come back? I thought I saw him on TV last week or the week before. I think on Collision. That's a rampage. It's a rampage main event. Well, it's a main event. It's a main event somewhere. Yeah, Solo is one of the top names right now on SmackDown. Come on now. Yeah, we have selected Roosh quite a few times, I feel like, recently. I'm booking him more than Tony Khan is. See, that there's something wrong there. It shouldn't be that way. I mean, I know he was hurt there for a while, but I think he's been all healed up for a hot minute, so I don't know why we're not seeing more of him on TV. And when I say TV, I mean Dynamite. Well, that's all I got for you. We had a solid episode of Raw, a solid if unspectacular edition of Be the Booker. I was hoping for better here, you know, on the night that we hit 80,000, but that's the way it goes sometimes. That's the random nature of Be the Booker. We will try again, and the next time that I will be live on the channel with you here is on Wednesday. We'll be talking AEW Dynamite, and then again on Friday after SmackDown, but I will be live tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern, Tuesday night, Titans. Myself and JD from New York, JD and I will be talking about a lot of the wrestling news from the week, and who knows what else. So join us over on the other channel. We had a great time last week. And saw a lot of our own family members here. A lot of our own community followed me over there, which was very cool to see. So hopefully I will see you tomorrow night, and we will rock on. I'm going to have this laminated and framed. This is just horrendous. I will see you guys live for TNT tomorrow night and the Dynamite review on Wednesday. Don't forget, if you missed it, episode 861 of the Sound Off from this weekend is waiting for you on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Rock on, my friends. Rock on.